You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So here we are. Week four, we are officially at the end of the fast, and we're going to pick up a little bit as we go through. But just a quick recap last week. I try and do a recap because if you're visitors amongst us, you might not know where we are in our journey. So I'll kind of do a quick whiz through just so you know where we are. If you want to get the detail on this message, thinking, wow, these are challenging headlines, go back and you can pick the message up. It's online. You can grab that and have a look what we've been up to over the last couple of weeks. But just a quick recap. As we finished last week, one of the things we said, we had like a, summed everything up into five little points. Be repentant. That might be a word that people don't like. But actually, if we turn around away from the things that are leading us away from God and we head towards God, we become under the shadow of his wing, under his protection. Place yourself under God's protection, because when we are there, Satan has no authority over us and he will flee. It might sound a simple point, but there it is. You can go back and listen a bit more. I challenge us to fall in love with God through his word. If you own a Bible, that's great, but you've got to read it. And I was encouraging us, read the word of God. When Jesus was tempted, what did he do? He said, "It is written." He quoted scripture because he knew it. And when he quoted scripture, what did the enemy do? He fled. So the word of God is precious to us. Fall in love with God's word is where we got to. Another one, forgive others. And blame is something I've spoken about over the last couple of weeks. Whatever we blame, we give authority to. And if you remember the Adam and Eve example, Adam blamed Eve. Eve had responsibility. Eve blames the serpent. Now who has responsibility? The serpent. What do we blame that has authority over our lives? We need to confess that. We need to maybe forgive others, get rid of blame, and reclaim authority again over our lives. Number four was quite simple. Be filled with Holy Spirit and follow his leading. When Jesus gathered with the disciples, as we read last time, he breathed over them and they were filled with Holy Spirit. And we need to be filled with that too. Otherwise, we're doing it in Darren's strength or Ray's strength or whoever's strength. And actually, Ray's a pretty strong fella. But actually, God's power is what we need. We need to be filled with Holy Spirit that we might go and serve God with his power. And the last point, which is obviously very clear because of what this whole message is about, is to go. We are then called to go, aren't we? Go in this knowledge and strength to share the good news that you know about, that set you free. You can tell your story. I know this to be true. I was once lost, but now I'm found. And we go and tell. That's what we're told to do. So that was the recap of where we should be last time. And as I mentioned a minute ago, today marks the official end for our fortnight fast. There is actually the slide up there. What I find it encouraging when I put these slides together, because a few weeks back, I said, oh, our fortnight fast starts today. And you were probably looking at 30th of September. God, that's a long way off. How many of us have kind of gone blink? Where did those 2 weeks go? But look, the slide's up there. It ends today with a church lunch. It's harvest service. I love the way God stitches things together. If only I was this clever. And here we are. It's harvest service. We're celebrating the harvest. And we're drawing this in. My prayer was that we would hear from God. But my prayer also was that each and every one of us would have some kind of personal breakthrough when we are actually fasting. Maybe God did give you a word or a picture, a dream or a vision, something for the church. And actually, if you've jotted those down on those sheets that I handed out, please, if you are able, share those with us as a church. Send them to me, send them to Sue. We'd love to collate that. If it's for you personally, you hold on to it. But actually, as we've had different pictures, let's share that, because it's a really good time to record this. And if we gather in our home groups or life groups, as prayer groups, we can look at that stuff and say, what is God saying? We had a time to share, obviously, our stories last week, and it's just been fab to hear a constant stream of people again this week actually saying, this is what God has been doing. I don't know about you, but I want to hear from God. You want to hear from God? It's so exciting when we do. Because we don't make this stuff up. If it relies upon me making it up, as I said before, it'd just be rubbish. It really would. We want to hear from God and we want to go. If you haven't been able to join in on the fast, or maybe you simply said no to that, I pray that you've been encouraged too, as you've heard different things that have taken place. And obviously there's an opportunity to join in on the next fortnight. So if you want to give that a go, it may be you could do... You could start slow. You could say, I'm going to skip breakfast. I'm going to see how I do for lunch. It may be that I'll have dinner. When God speaks and his people respond, then things start happening. Things manifest. And this is called fruit, or I'm calling it fruit. And the title for this week's message is Expectation, Mission, Fruit. What are you expecting to happen as we go? Hopefully everybody's got it clear now that we are actually going to be going and being a church on mission. I kind of put it in quotes whenever I write it down, for the next couple of months. And as I gather feedback from various life groups, it's interesting to see what people are thinking and how creative the thoughts and ideas are about how to reach Tile Hill with the good news. I was talking about fruitfulness and fruit. Somebody has already suggested me, maybe we could put a banana costume on and we can go to the banana flats. And I'm like, that's a really creative idea. I won't be part of that. But you know, mission fruit, whatever you see that to be, you can be as much of a fruitcake as you like, I suppose. But hopefully we've got the idea that we are going to go and something is going to happen. We're going to go. We've got a little booklet. I've kind of got the picture up on there. You can see this booklet. It's just being completed now. If you're really interested in it, if you're good at proofreading and you'd like to have a little read through this thing, come and see me afterwards. We can share some of these around and say, right, this is the final stuff that we're actually putting in here. Come and have a look. Is there anything obvious that we've missed? Like, come to Limbrickwood Baptist Church and not put the address on or a map. You know, stuff like that is the kind of wisdom that we need. And just to recap, I think where we're at as far as mission was, and I talked about being prepared for mission, I don't want it to be all about a booklet. Booklet is a great thing, and it's a great thing that we've got to hand out. But if you can remember back to the message last week, the first mission is actually in our own lives. And I did ask the question, are we in the right place before God? And recapping on those things a minute ago, I said, are there any things that still have authority over us and shut us down? Now, I can answer that question because I can probably answer it for myself. The answer is yes, there are things that still sometimes come along and shut us down. So what are we going to do about it? My challenge for Mission Fruit is, if there's no evidence of change, if there's no fresh fruit in our lives, if there's no healing from past wounds, if there's no new life in our bodies that's evident to family and friends, then how on earth is Tile Hill going to respond to something we essentially don't believe in? Because either we don't respond to it, you might be sat there thinking, well, it doesn't work, or it didn't work for me, or worse still, I actually know it works, but I'm going to ignore it. You see, if we're going to reach Tile Hill, my challenge again was the change has to come in us first. That was one of the main points of the message last week. We need filling with God's power. We need that healing power. We need that transforming power at work in us. That's not just changed, that's utterly transformed. And people look at us and go, there is something different about you. We are transformed, and only God's power can do that. And if you don't think that that power exists, then how will we ever bear fruit? Apple trees give. Yeah, plum trees give. Yeah, Christians or disciples make. I hope so. And that should be the model, isn't it? But if we're not that disciple, how will we make disciples? I challenged us before. I don't want this to be negative. I want this to be quite exciting and get you encouraged about this. I want this to be one of those light bulb moments when you wake up and go, crumbs, actually, this God stuff is really real. and it is powerful and it changes lives. Look at who I was a little while back and look at what God has done through me. That life-changing power is at work for each and every one of us. And for me, that's so exciting. And if we manifest that, if we can truly go to Tile Hill and say, look, I was once like this, but this is what God has done with me now. I guarantee people are going to say, I want some of that too. Do you believe in that power that God has? Do you believe that it is at work in you right now? The power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that is at work in us, we said last week. If you really believe that, then I think we've got a real thing to show Tile Hill. It's exciting stuff, isn't it? Come on. It's really exciting stuff, this. I mean, who knows? We're not making this up. We've got no magic formula here. We are in obedience going to say, Lord, right out of my comfort zone. Right out of my comfort zone. But actually, if you're saying that I need to do that, then let's go. I've had people come and talk to me before, and they've said, I've been praying, and I said, Lord, where do you want me to be, and what do you want me to say? And this person said, God asked me to go to this particular hotel, outside this hotel, and there'd be someone with a blue coat walking past, and I want you to tell them that I love them. And they went, okay. And I think it was about a 30-mile journey, so they drove to this hotel because they knew where it was, and they sat outside thinking, this is really odd. And then someone turned up in a blue coat. Chances are, there's one walking past now. Look, quick, go and get him. He's in a blue coat, and he said, look, I've got to tell you this. God's told me to drive 35 miles or wherever it was to come here to talk to you and say that he loves you. And that person needed to hear those words. I can't remember the exact story, so I won't embellish it. But that was a life-changing moment. That person needed to hear that. And something happened. Are we the sort of people that would sit here and say, God, I want that kind of stuff? Nikki, when she received a picture the other week, she's got a picture and it's got stronger and stronger in her mind. She can see somebody probably in the banana flats that's hiding behind a door in darkness with a chain across it. And she was sharing it with me again as we were praying and fasting together. She said, Darren, it's so strong. And I can see this person, they take the chain off as if there's something like the chains are being removed and they step out of the darkness into light. And she said, it's so strong. I want to go and knock on every house in the banana flats to find that person that's going to take the chain off the door and step from darkness into light. Isn't that the kind of stuff we want to hear from God about? Now, it might be that you're not that sort of person. So then tag along with Nikki, because I'm sure she'd enjoy you there as well. We're going to go out in pairs, aren't we, of course. But catch that. What is this stuff of God about? I love our reading this morning. Let's jump into Luke 15. If you've got your Bibles there, open them up again. We're going to go through this in some sort of order. If anybody hasn't got a Bible, I love giving Bibles away. Has anybody here not got a Bible? Because you can take one today. You've all got Bibles and you've all brought them with you and you're all holding them up. Fabulous. I like to see it. Or I can see a little glow of your face where your phone is on. That's lovely. It's like a kind of glory kind of going over as you. Yeah, anyway. Luke 15. There are some great things in this passage that Jesus said and how he taught. And if we're looking at mission fruit today, let's put this in some kind of simplified language. We believe that as a result of listening to God, being obedient to what he says, and to go and share his good news, then there should be people out there that hear this good news and they will change their direction and choose to follow Jesus instead of going their own way. Now we're going to look at a few of the things that Jesus taught within this passage. Luke 15, 3-7, as Pauline read to us so beautifully, Jesus told them a parable. We told them this story. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. I don't know about you as you hear that. Just think about the shepherd for a moment. The compassion that the shepherd has for the lost sheep. He pursues it until he finds it. And actually, when he finds that lost sheep, what does he do? Does he give it a right telling off and say, "Ooh, you better not do that again"? You know, joyfully, he picks it up and puts it on his shoulders. Now, okay, that's a little lad carrying a lamb. I was trying to find a shepherd with a sheep on it, but I couldn't find. But rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. He's so excited about this. Do you know how heavy a sheep is? General knowledge. In pounds. What do we reckon? 100 pounds? Higher? Lower? Higher? 150? Higher? Lower? About the right place? 300? That's a big sheep. That's a big wet sheep. Yeah, sheep. About 150 to 175 pounds, probably the average sheep would be. And he picks it up and puts it on his shoulders. I love the incidental writing of Luke. Here he is. He's talking to tax collectors and sinners, it says at the beginning, at the top there. And they're all gathered around to hear Jesus. What's he going to say? And it says, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Yeah, Jesus gets his hands dirty. He's prepared to go out and find that smelly sheep. If anybody's ever worked with sheep, they're stinky things. I mean, they really smell bad, let alone picking it up and putting it on your shoulders. But doesn't that speak about what Jesus is talking about here? He's prepared to carry each and every one of us. We might think that we're not very good. We might think that we're bad. But no matter how good or bad we are, Jesus will pick us up. He will carry our burdens, whatever our issues may be. Let's have a look further, verses 8 to 10, because Jesus says some more stuff. He talks about the parable of the lost coin. And he says, or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I've found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents. And I don't know about you, I love that picture of angels rejoicing. I know when I first came to faith, I didn't know any of this stuff. And somebody was actually saying, you know, something in heaven is going to be rejoicing because of a decision that you've just made. I was amazed that my decision to follow Jesus would cause any joy or rejoicing in the presence of angels. How can you make angels rejoice? You know, Terry spoke about it, that passion for the lost. And when the lost is found, the rejoicing that takes place. And I think that's what Mission Fruit is like. I was quite excited about this. You know, the things that take place here on earth will cause ripples in the heavenlies. Just think about that for a moment. That's kind of why my hair's standing up my arms moment. You know, we're going to do stuff here on earth, and the angels are going to be rejoicing in the presence of God. I mean, do you catch that? I think that's so exciting. So a good question to ask ourselves. I keep talking about fruit, or I've mentioned fruit. What fruit do we as church expect over these next couple of months? If we're going out, if we're going to be those praying in our home groups, however that's going to look, whatever part we play in this, what fruit are you expecting? What are you expecting to happen in the next 2 months? Maybe if you sat there and for a moment and created a quick wish list, what would it look like? Maybe it is a spouse that's been saved. Maybe children following God and not getting distracted by worldly attractions. Maybe not being in debt, not being lonely, not being ill, to see a loved one get better. I mean, these are all quite generic. You might think, oh, he's talking to me. But look, these are quite generic. What is it? Just pause for a moment. Because there might be stuff in your life you say, Lord, I'm really praying for that or that person. Or there's a particular thing I'm drawn to in Tile Hill. And they've got to know the good news. Just pause for a moment. What fruit are you expecting? See, the thing is, I can leave a long pause, but the chances are, if you're a bit like me, it goes straight on in your mind. You know exactly what it is straight away. I know exactly what I'd ask God for. If he said to me, Darren, what would it be? I know exactly what I'd ask for. So my second question is then, do you think God is able to do this? Is God able to answer your prayer? It's an interesting one, isn't it? And the answer is yes. Because if we don't say yes, I mean, we kind of got to get over that one first, haven't we? Is God able to answer my prayer? I believe it is. It might not be the way that you and I would have it done. It might be that the answer is no. It might be the answer is not yet. It might be it's yes. And there's another one. It might be it involves you. Yep, you might be the answer to that prayer. Is God asking you to be part of that in any way? How are you part of that solution? What is the issue? Can God do it? What is he saying about your part in that? And the question, and it comes a little bit back to the message last week, is there anything that you changed in your life that might remove the barriers to see others coming to faith? Is there anything you need to step up in? Maybe it is prayer and fasting. And I'm so excited that you're saying, let's keep doing that. Maybe you're seeking some healing. And it might not be for you, it might be for a loved one. Maybe that's what your prayer is this morning. Maybe you are seeking just that peace and wholeness. Maybe life has got a bit tough and actually just feel like you're constantly just being pushed down that hill and you just want to stop and say, I want to stop running for a moment. Question, are you living well? It comes back to the previous message. You see, as church, we've fasted in preparation to that call to go. And hopefully we have been inquiring of God what that looks like for each and every one of us, whether we're fasting or not. And I love the uniqueness of church. I love the fact that we're all important to God, something to celebrate. But if God's speaking to each and every one of us individually, are we going to be obedient to move forwards in that? Are we prepared to go after the lost sheep? Are we prepared to stay up all night searching for the lost thing until we find it? And actually, this brought me on to thinking about the church meeting. I was struck by the fact that we are going to be doing the Coventry Winter Night Shelter here. It was a unanimous, let's go forwards on this. We all agreed, Coventry Winter Night Shelter. So right where you are sitting are going to be about 20 beds, and there are going to be people in here that we'll be looking after that will be in here on a Friday night, and they won't be out on the streets between December and March. I'll put something in your newsletter if you're interested in signing up for that. The lost coin. It struck me, the lost coin and the lost souls. There will be people staying in here that may have never heard of the gospel before. And as we start to look for volunteers, this will involve some people being awake all night. But are we so focused on the kingdom of God coming that we say, well, actually, I'm prepared to be that person? How can I sleep if there are souls that are still yet to be saved, to be won for Christ? Now, you might say it's a bit of a tenuous link, but the parable that Jesus told is about how valuable each soul is to him. I did find this slide. I don't know if you've ever seen this man before. It was a homeless guy, and they took him into a salon, and they did a before and an after. Now, you might look at the chap on the left and say, well, he looks lovely there. He looks wonderful there. But if you've ever seen the video, there is a video online of this guy, and they came in off the street, and they cut his hair. They also used a bit of Just for Men. But actually, whatever we see there, what he saw when they did the reveal was the treasure that was within him. It's beautiful. You can look this up, this homeless man transformation. Jesus likened to those that were lost as something precious and wouldn't rest until it's found. The parable of the lost coin shows us again the mission of Jesus. As we said last time, he came to be the light of the world. John 1:9 says, the true light that gives light to every man. Jesus provides that light for the lost to be found. Just like the woman needed light to find her lost coin. Every soul is precious to God. And like the parable before, there was rejoicing in heaven. There was rejoicing when she found the lost coin. The lost coin parable also shows how important to God every single one of us is. If you look at that parable a little bit deeper, the woman could have said, well, actually, I've got 9 out of 10. That's not bad. 9 will do. But actually, the lost coin was important. It had value. In fact, it was so important that when she found it, she invited all her friends over and said, hey, look, I found my lost coin. It's a celebration time. And I suppose asking that question, we were saying it earlier, break my heart for what breaks yours. Do we have the same passion for the lost? Is this kind of celebration fruit that you and I are hoping for over these next few months? I don't know if some people are going to be saying here, well, I stayed up all night. It was Friday night. I was up here all night. But there was a lost soul in here, and I had a conversation, and you won't believe. He was once lost, but now he's found. And that's the reason why I wanted to be part of this. Yes, I want to see folk off the street, but I don't just want to give them a bed. I want them to know the good news, and we've got the opportunity to share that. Do you treasure lost souls in the same way? Do you see the treasure there? Now, like I say, you might think the guy on the left is a lovely looking fella anyway. But when you saw his transformation, he realized he wasn't just discarded and lost and left out. He was precious. To sharpen this up further, Jesus then goes on to another parable. We're nearly there. Most would know this as the prodigal son. It may be that for you, you don't understand that coin part, and for some, it's going to make total sense. Jesus goes on to talk about a child. In Luke 15, the son wants his inheritance now. He's basically saying to the father, if you were dead, I could have what I want right now. That's what he's saying, basically. And the father graciously, it says in the scriptures, graciously divides his property and gives the son his share of the estate. And you know the rest of the story. You might have heard it many times before. The son squanders his wealth on prodigal living. You might wonder why it was called the prodigal son. It's prodigal living. What does prodigal mean? Well, it means rash and wasteful and extravagant living. And of course, as you read in the story, the wealth soon runs out, and when the wealth runs out, the friends run out also. Now, without going into loads of details here, you may know about the story, you might know lots of things. One of the points Jesus is making is that, again, the son is so precious to the father that the father is actually prepared to run and meet his son so that he may be brought back into the community. Now, I don't know if you've heard this before. It kind of struck me when I heard this. If you to look at some of these things through that first century Middle Eastern man's eyes, it was shameful for men to run, particularly if they've got their tunics on. I've seen various ladies climbing stairs with long dresses on, and you kind of get lower as you go. You have to go back down the stairs again, don't you? And you have to, yeah. Well, it's the same for Middle Eastern man. If he was there and actually he was going to be running in his tunic, he's got to hoik his tunic up. Now, actually, showing your bare legs was something that was absolutely, utterly disgraceful. Not only was he running, but he was also baring his legs. It was a shameful act. Why run? Well, it's said that he's thought that he ran because he needed to get to his son before the people in the village saw the son. As one who's been rejected by his father and lived the way he had, there was a ceremony called Kezazar. Has anybody heard of this Kezazar thing? The broken pot? I'll read to you. This is the description. It says, if a Jewish man left the community, went to live with the Gentiles and lost his wealth, when he came back, he would go to the city gates and the older men would throw down a pot in front of the young man, symbolizing the broken relationship that now existed between the community and this sinner. This separated him from his family, his community, and his faith. But in our story, because the father got there first, this ceremony would not have been able to be completed. because the father had taken the full shame, running, bearing his legs to get there first, so that the son should be received by the father, forgiven by the father, and the community would see that he had been welcomed back home. Luke 15:24, it says it in your Bibles. What did he say? For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. And it's a beautiful story. It's that beautiful picture of a parent that would shame themselves for the sake of getting their child back. And how much rejoicing was there again? The fattened calf. But alas, there is the older brother. Dun, dun, dun. Do you like the slide? I was trying to work out how I could put up for the older brother. You won't like me when I get angry. Nikki shared from her prayer and fasting the first week. And I don't know if you remember, she said, be careful, older brothers, those that have been in the faith for many years. It has been said to me by many long-standing Christians from lots of different churches that they're not happy, actually, when the new people come in. They get all the attention. They sometimes say they're not very friendly, these new people. They all gather in little bunches and talk amongst themselves. They don't talk to me. And actually, I've bitten my lip on a few occasions and said, well, you know, older brother syndrome here. You know, you've been here. This has been all yours. And they were once lost, and now they're found. And you're saying, well, they make the place untidy. I don't really like... I've heard it. Not this church. I will say this, not this church. But I heard it said at the last church I was at that they make the place untidy. Can we not open up the side door so they can come in the side door? And actually as well, let's not use the comfy chairs because, let's be honest, some of them aren't the cleanest. Let's put the plastic chairs out. And the lady that wets herself, yeah, can we put a tarpaulin under that? I mean, yes, God loves you. Yes, yes, urinating lady, if you'd like to come and sit on the chair with the slot over the tarpaulin, that'd be lovely. Jesus loves you. I mean, I was mortified. Mortified. The older brother syndrome. Let's not be older brothers. Don't be grumpy. Be like the shepherd that goes out to find the lost sheep and carries it home. You might come back a bit smelly after you've done it. But go after that lost sheep. Be the one that stays up all night to find the things that are lost. Be the one that runs to the lost. Even take on their shame so you might stop them from being blamed and rejected by a community. I don't know what mission fruit you're after, but I think this really speaks of mission fruit. This is the kind of mission fruit I'm expecting. Now, today is our harvest service. We've got a nice display. When communities used to gather, and I used to live out in the village, and I kind of remember some of this stuff, the village gathered together in such a way, they were so thankful for the harvest that a faithful God had brought the seasons, the seed time and the time for harvest. And yet we're told today we've got to bring in tins because the fresh stuff doesn't keep very long. It's difficult to share the fresh stuff. But thankfully, kingdom fruit doesn't perish. It doesn't have an expiry date either. And to encourage us again, you know, and I'm picking up from what I've been hearing around the church. Sue was reminded of Mark 4 when she was fasting. Jesus was out there on the boat. A large crowd had gathered. So there he was, just pushed off a little way from the shore, speaking to the large crowd. And this is what it says, Mark 4, if you want to put this a little mark in your own Bibles as well. Mark 4, 26 to 29. Mark 4, 26 to 29, the parable of the growing seed. Again, Jesus is speaking. And this is what he says. He says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or get up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he doesn't know how. All by itself, the soil produces corn. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. As soon as the corn is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Come on. That's exciting, isn't it? I mean, how many seeds have been sown in Tile Hill over these last 60 years? How many people have been here either through the church, through Sunday school, they might have come to a wedding, a funeral, whatever it might be. They've been in this place and a seed has been sown. We don't know how, but it's the power of God that is at work. And there comes a time for harvest. And I believe now is that time for Limbrick Wood to go. It's going to be different for each of us. We've read three different parables there, three different scenarios. And we're going to have different ideas about how that's going to work. But we need to celebrate those and encourage one another in them that we might see some kingdom fruit come from this. So I'm just calling this bit to mind today as we've been looking at everything else. Are you expecting something to happen? Are you expecting some fruit to come? Have you got good personal testimony? If I ask you to stand up and do the 30-second gospel, or to go the 30 seconds of my life, this is who I was and this is who I am now because of God. Aim high. Have some big dreams. Have some big visions. There is a saying by Zig Ziglar. What a name that is, isn't it? Fabulous name. It says, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. If you aim at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. We need to be prepared to risk it all for Jesus. And I think it's really encouraging. When I went down the Heber stuff and we were gathering as churches, when they were seeing some church growth, and they're saying, what is it that set these churches apart? It's because they risked everything for Jesus. They put it all out there and said, God, if you don't turn up, it's not going to happen. And actually, that's a difficult place to get to. It's a challenge for each and every one of us. But put it out there. Are we prepared to put it out there and say, God, I'm prepared to risk all of this. And if you don't turn up, then I fail. Who's worried about failing? Yeah. Fail. I saw a great acronym. Do you want to put it up on the screen for me? Look, fail. Yeah, first attempt. You can hit the button, Morris. Look, first attempt. I couldn't get the noise. First attempt in learning. If we fail, it's our first attempt in learning. If not, you can buy a boat and sail. That's your second attempt in learning. But anyway. tail? No, let's leave it there. So first attempt in learning. Don't be worried. Let's learn from it. You know, I'm prepared to put this out there and say, as we have before, to the church, what might this look like? And we've said, and we've built some time into this, we're going to have a repeated pattern of October and November. Hi, guys. All right. You're good. Good to see you. Come on in. We're nearly finished. All right, pal. How you going? Good stuff. First attempt in learning. Don't be worried about failing. We've got a repeated pattern. October, we're going to do something, then we're going to go, how did that work out? Yeah, I'm not dressing up in the banana costume either. You know what I mean? It's like fruit all round. Man, everybody loved the banana costume. We're going to get apples and pears and everything. I don't know what that's going to look like, but let's see, where do we fail? And what is successful? And we might be really surprised, and we spur one another on. It may be that you're going to be somebody that sat at home and you say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for this stuff. And this is what God said to me. And we'll learn from that. What is God saying through each and every one of us? There's a poem. Who's got a new sheet handy? I meant to pick one up. Grab a new sheet. Thank you. Oh, that's a long way down. You can read it. I put it here. Sue sent this to me, actually. And then she read it to me. And then I was kind of like, oh. And then something sits in the back of your mind. And you end up with this thing going round and round again. A poem by DJ Higgins, if anyone knows who that is. It says, my friend, I stand in judgment now and feel that you're to blame somehow. While on this earth, I walked with you day by day. And never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell that story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we lived together here on earth, you never told me of your second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend and trusted you. But now I learned, now it's too late. You could have kept me from this fate. We walked by day and talked by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live, love, and die, and all the while you knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life and trusted you in joy and strife. Yet in coming to this end, I see you really weren't my friend. It's cheery, isn't it? But do you know what? It's such a challenge. When I read it, I'm like, oh, Grant's really miserable. That's going to cheer people up, isn't it? But look, sometimes we just need that sharpener, don't we? We've got good news. Jesus loves us. He loves you guys. Why on earth do you come to church today? You know? And Jesus loves you. Come on. That's wonderful. Strength every day. Bless you. Absolutely. Fabulous, mate. That's beautiful. Thank you for coming and sharing that. You know, come on. There are people out there that don't know this good news. It's treasure within, is it not? It should make us weep for those that haven't heard this. I don't want to be that person in that poem. What's the sharpener that you need? I don't know. Look at it in the scriptures. Read those passages again. Hear beautiful testimony of someone that's just come in. The call is to go. It says it, Matthew 28:19. Go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Are you a disciple? If you're a disciple, you will make disciples. So therefore, go. Go and make disciples of all nations. Our response is obedience. I don't know what the detail is, and we'll work that out together. But the call is to go.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events, and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.